on Paragallis, Pasuk Lamedes. So let's go a little bit right before this. So Elisha told Gehazi to go ahead and to hit the child with his staff. We did a bunch of little stuff at the end of last week, so we won't go over everything, but over here. But there was definitely, Gehazi, it didn't work when he went through. So the question is why? Either number one, Gehazi did not have emunah. He did not believe that it was actually going to work. So when he went there and he didn't have that belief, so it didn't work. Number two, he actually resurrected a dead dog on the way there to test it to see if it would work. So he tried it on a dead dog. The dead dog got up and bit him. And then he tried it on the kid and it didn't work anymore because it was there. Or number three, Elisha specifically told him, do not talk to anybody on the way there. So of course, Elisha didn't say hello to anybody on the way there. But when somebody said to him, hey, Elisha, hey, Gehazi, where are you going? He's like, I'm going to do Tchias HaMeisim with this stick. This is the stick of Elisha. Because he told people, therefore it didn't work, and that was the problem. Elisha knew that the only way for it to work by Gehazi
was to get at it. Wasn't there a group of 1,000 people crowded around watching him try to do it?
I don't know. Maybe he said, but you can't come with me. I don't know. And nobody saw Yashka, so...
Did the stick have flowers on it?
No, it did not. It wasn't like the Aaron Echoing, staff or anything like that. Nothing crazy like that. I did like the answer that we gave last week, that it was there to preserve the body. That was a good answer. Remember the Ben Yishai that said that every Navi / Chacham had a staff with them, where they would put all their kochos into, and there was a koach to that staff.
But we don't have any reference for that.
No, we don't have... Well, the Ben Yishai himself, he says it in Gittin, Daf Samach.
Well, I don't understand. What is a staff? What?
It's Lavdafka's staff, but he said the following. This is what... It's based on a Gemara where it says that when Shlomo Melech was kicked out of his kingdom, Hashemah, the king of the demons, he was able to carry one thing with him, and it was either his shirt or his staff. He explains the shirt, and then he says, by the staff, he says, every person who knows, who is a Makobel, knows that when a person wants to concentrate on something, you hold the staff down and you put your forehead on the staff, so all of your koach of your learning goes into
around.
The
so that's where baseball players
go around, right? But there's no koach hakedusha there. It's a tremendous amount of koach hatuma, right? That's what you're going to be able to have. That was number one. And
is that why Hasidic Rebbe, some of them have that stick with the fancy handle?
Yeah, exactly. And it's usually wood on the bottom or whatever it is. It's on purpose. Like what it is in gold on top, I think it is. No,
so I think silver.
Silver on top, because Kesef is always wrapped.
Someone came to my house the other day. You had
the silver tip
silver staff. Thing.
That's pretty nice. Why don't you call the silver?
He was the, what were they telling me he was? He came with someone. The San Zarebi of Ramat Beit Shemesh.
Really? Interesting. Oh, he was going door to door. All right, anyway, that's that. The other thing is that... what was the last thing I wanted to say? All right, we'll get to Gehazi later on. Let's go on. So Elisha came to the house, and the child was definitely dead. He was lying on his bed like that. Came, he closed the door by both of them, and he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, the koach, this is what I wanted to say, the koach of Elisha was not through the staff. The koach of Elisha was through the mouth. That's what the Chassam Sofer says in Chuvas. That's what happens over here. So he got up and he slept on the child. Now, I don't know exactly what this means. Put his body on the child. Put his mouth on his mouth as if to give him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Ain of all ain of his eyes on his eyes. Kapal of a kapal of his hands on his hands. Obviously, the body was not that big. I would assume that the child was nowhere near the size of Elisha's body. But he put especially the head and the hands on his hands. Vayikar olav. And then he spread himself out over him. Yochom Bisar HaYelid, the child's flesh became warm. Now remember, we said before that there were three keys of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Eliyahu HaNavi was able to take two of them, one at each time. He took the key of rain, and he took the key of Tchias HaMeisim. So Elisha was able to take two keys as well. He took the key of Chaya, to be able to make this woman give birth, and then he gave back that key, and he took back the key of Tchias HaMeisim. He was able to take that back, and that's that. It could be that it's a simon and something like that. Who knows what it's going to be welcome for. But it could be that he imparted some of his own life to him. He gave it over to him. Either way, this kid may have been Edo, which shows that there's a tremendous amount of kedusha by this kid. It's fine. Okay, here we go. So it says, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Lamed Hey. So he went back, right? And he went in the house. Achaseinu, one way this way, one way that way. Vayal Vayikar Alov, right? He got up and he spread himself on him again. Vayizorer Hanar, the boy sneezed. I'd shove upon him seven times. Vayikar Hanar, up and the boy opened up his eyes. Now what that means, no idea. It's obviously something Kabbalistic as well. That's not something we're going to have any answers to, why you have to sneeze seven times. But you call Gehazi, you call the guys when you recall Shunam Zazos. he said, call the Shunammite's woman. This is Elisha calling the Gehazi. He called her. She came to him. Lift up your child, he said to him. She came, fell on his feet. Fell on Elisha's feet. So she bowed down straight to the ground. She lifted up her child. She went out. This is number seven. We're up to the seventh miracle of Elisha. The Elisha Shavu Gilgal. He then went to Gilgal. There was a hunger in the land. The Bnei Anavim were sitting in front of Vayomer Lenar, and he said to his Nar, Sos Hashira Gadol of Ashal Nezid, the Bnei Anavim. I want you to pour out, pour out this large pot, right, and cook, like I guess Nezid is like lentil soup for all the sons of prophets over here. That's what it was over here. Now the question is, what does it mean he went back to Gilgal? When was Elisha ever in Gilgal? But it could be that, remember, he did go to Gilgal along with Eliyahu HaNavi. So he went there once, and now he had come again. So this is the idea of there was a famine. Right? Where did the famine come from? Elisha had proclaimed the famine because people were not learning Torah enough. Because they weren't learning Torah enough, therefore, he wanted them to daven more, and he wanted them to speak more and learn more, and that's what ended up happening here. Vayetze acha echod el asada. One guy went out to the field, Lelaket Oros, in order to gather Oros. Now, Oros are greens. Vayimza Geffen, Soda, and he found a wild grapevine. Vayilakim Yimenu Pakuos Soda. He was able to gather, like, these huge, like, melons from it. So apparently it wasn't a grapevine. I don't know what that means. But Melo Vigdo, enough to fill all of his clothes. He went and he split them into the pot of porridge, right, because they didn't know, right, they had no idea that these were poisonous greens and that this is something that was going to make everything bad. So he poured it in thinking like, oh, here's a great idea, but it was completely poisonous. They poured it out for the men to eat. When they tasted it, they cried, there's death in this porridge. Man of God, they were not able to eat it. So he said, take some flour, throw it in. He said, then pour it out to the people, and they were able to eat. It did not taste anything bad. Now, this is a double miracle. Over here, he's making the bad water pure without a question, but the flour, right, should not have done anything to the poison that was inside the seer. In fact, it probably should have made it a little bit more potent, because it would have been more bready. It would have been more of a whatever. But anyway, regardless, the flour was something that was going to be able to be put in that was able to heal it.
Why didn't he tell them to do that originally?
Meaning originally before they done
it. Didn't he tell them to?
He didn't know about the poison inside. It just had happened. Somebody threw the poison.
It seems like it was a double because it, number one, it tasted better and the poison wasn't.
Yeah, potent. The poison wasn't potent, so that would be it. These bummy
Shalisha. No, but he seems to tell them, make this and then after they're like, this is gross, he's like, oh, put flour in it. I didn't tell them to put flour in it.
It's not just that it's gross, it's poisonous.
Yeah, no, so but why
he didn't know about the poison at first.
Oh, okay.
No, that was the reason why. Some guy just poured some stuff in.
Naturally, the flour will neutralize the taste of whatever.
That's probably, you know, you'd have to like check in what kind of flour did he put in. It could have been that it was just something like that. Either way, it is counted as a miracle. It's miracle number 8, so it must have been that it was something that was not natural. Otherwise,
what about 8 and 9?
So number 9 right now, the Ish Bami Baal Shal, as you know, each one of his miracles were doubly done. Remember that's how he explained it before, because he wanted double the amount of
the meal and total
quantity and quality. So we're going to both. The Ish Bami Baal Shalish. A man came from Baal Shalish. So he brought him bread from the new crop, from the Bikurim. So there were 20 loaves of barley bread, as well as fresh barley in the what do they call it? Stalk. Yeah. He said, give it to the people, let them eat. How could I give this in front of 100 people? It's 20 loaves of bread and a little bit of, you know, some of the barley things. I can't serve that to 100 people. Give it to the people, said Elisha, and they'll eat. Not only are they going to eat, they're going to have leftovers. They were able to have more, just like the Kaddish Baruch Hu had said. So just like earlier it done so with the oil that they kept pouring and pouring and pouring, the exact same thing happened over here. It's another miracle in that way as well. Okay, some say that there were not just 100 students. There were 2,200 students there. So there was a loaf for every 100 of them. That was the problem over here.
How bad was this famine? Was it the whole land or just in Gilgal?
We're going to see that it was a 7-year famine.
So what caused it? Are we going to see that too?
Yeah, Elisha caused it when people weren't learning, and it was also because of Yehoram ben Ahav. So we're going to see that unfortunately it was because of what Yehoram ben Ahav did, and it was a really terrible famine. People were eating their children.
It never says that they weren't learning. It says Yehoram was doing bad stuff, and they were doing Avodah Zarah, but a lot of times, before you say like, "Oh, this was they were learning." I've never seen any pasuk saying anything about anybody learning.
Well, it's a problem when you deal with that type of thing because you're dealing with the yukim from the psukim that you're going in between. So I don't know where the drush is.
It's like
you have to know exactly where the drush is.
And the mala.
Yeah, where he said ha'lanu. The Gemara says that it's for that was specifically for learning.
But
where do we get that from?
Was it in the pasuk?
Oh, wait. There is a Ksam Sofer on that. So, Bli Nether, I can show it to you. Where is that Haftorah, the one about Yoshua and the Malach?
I don't know, but it's in Tanis.
Wherever it is, that Haftorah with Yoshua and the Malach, where the Malach said, Halonu Atov Lutzarenu, there's a famous line from the Ksam Sofer where he says, why would he bother asking it was Lutzarenu? So he understood that it was automatically for him, but he was trying to say, I forgot what it was, but that was exactly it. It was, are you because of the Torah that we haven't learned, or because of that? And it was Meduyik in the Pasuk because it was a Gzereshav from Lanu Lanu or something like that.
There's still
so you can have that.
You never see in Tanakh a lot of Ramas. Right, but as you would think, one pasuk talking about, oh yeah, they were learning, they were doing this.
I don't know if that's true.
Never,
I mean, I don't know if that's true. I don't remember it, but that's not true.
When does the Malach appear to Yeshua?
No, but it's without a question. They had to have it. Because you have all these Machloksim and Chas.
I'm not saying. I'll tell you later.
Yeah. No. Okay, what do you got?
Please in a second.
I was just going to ask. Here's the Malach. When it was media connected media, that happened to Eliyahu, or what? My name was because the people are going to fast, are going to start, are like, I'm going to have food, so.
I don't know if it was Eliyahu by Eliyahu and that was the 3-year famine. That was the 3-year famine. That's what we said over there. Alright, now we're on Parakeh. Now this is the famous part that deals with Naaman, and everybody knows about Naaman. That's the famous Saras. This is a really good one. There's a lot of stuff out here that we need to know about Naaman. Naaman starts with Melech Aram, Haya. Naaman was the general of the army of Aram. Okay, Ish Gadol, he was a great man with Ne'adonav in front of his master, Unesu Panim, and he also was held in very high esteem by Rikimonos and Hashem Chuala Aram. There was salvation and victory given to Aram through him. The man was a mighty warrior, but he was also a leper, he was also Metzora. Now, Naaman, says the Medrash, was strong, courageous, well-liked. He had won the respect of the people, and people loved him. He was the one who shot the arrow that killed Ahab, whether it was accidental or not. Nonetheless, he was the one who ended up killing
him. He was a leper. How did he become such a high power?
Very good. Well, that's what it's about to say. He was sincere and upright, even though he was raised in idolatry the entire way, right? And through him, HaKadosh Baruch wanted to make a sign. It's through this man who is going to reject idolatry that I'm going to reject or knock down Ahav. That's what ended up happening over here. The only flaw that his enviable life had was that he had leprosy. He was never free of this affliction. He was embarrassed of it from the different things that had happened to him, but it made all his accomplishments greater because he was able to do it even though he was a leper. Now, some say he had just become a tzaras right now.
That's
he
an ail.
Tzaras right
well.
Now.
Yeah.
And but that. But it sounds like from the Pasuk, right, it says, Hayagibor Hayo, Metzora. Not that he became Metzora just at that moment, but he always was. Either way, Pasuk Beis, it says, Varam Yatsu Gedudim. So they went out in different bands. By Yishbo Meretz Yisrael, they started capturing people from Eretz Yisrael. Narek Tana, one of them was a young maiden, Bati Lepnei Eshes Naaman. And she worked in front of the wife of Naaman. Now notice, by the way, Nara Kitana. A Nara is not a Kitana, a Kitana is not a Nara. This is a very little girl. She was a Kitana, but she acted like an hour. She acted like an hour, and that's what we're going to say over here, that she was a very, very smart person over here. So that's
why
the idea behind it. Yeah.
Nara then, because Nara is still like not a... Nara is like that 12 and a half stage.
Yeah, that was probably the best time for these women. That was when they were well known more than anything else, I would assume.
No, but I'm saying that's not your prime age of...
Like, might have been a girl.
Girls didn't get educated. Girls aren't educated. They hit maturity at 12 and a half, so that's,
Yeah, but maybe you're right. It's not the prime age, because obviously as you get older,
you
get wiser,
etc. If you wanted to be smart, you would not...
Yeah, but it wouldn't make any sense that Katana Gedola You know what I'm saying? Like, that wouldn't make any sense. Katana Nara means around that age. To put it together means she was a young girl, but she had the mind of a Nara. She was able to be a Nara. Yeah. So that's that. Some say, those who say that he got
Sarah. She's a little adult, meaning she's a
raccoon. Correct. That would be the idea behind it. Those say that he got Saras now, and he didn't have it before. It's because he had captured this girl. Okay, that's the end of what happened over here. Now, the problem that Naaman had, which I guess was common for a person of his stature and something like that, was that he had gaiva. He had a lot of pride. And we're going to see that this is going to knock him down completely. So here we go. Tatomaro Kivirti, she said to her mistress, you know, the wife of Naaman, Achale Adoni, Litznei Navi, Asher B'Shomron, my master should pray in front of the prophet who is in the Shomron. Oh, yes, it was Omitzerato. He will cure him of his tsaras over here. The idea, I guess, behind it, the girl may have understood that a Navi is not a magician. He doesn't just go poof and all of a sudden the tsaras is gone. She may have understood. She realized that Naaman's biggest problem was his gaiva. And he said, if he's willing to be machmia himself to the Navi by going into Israel and going up to a Navi, then he will be cured, because that'll prove that he has a nivus, that he has humility.
It says that she should request.
Akalei. I don't know what akalei is.
She says, Zohi bakasha shukhari.
Means to begin or to start praying for your fear to go out. So it can be that. However you want to put it over here, yes, there's some way of giving it over, present it, give it over, allow my master to do this. And that's what it means. In other words, allow yourself to go in front of the Navi, because otherwise you're not gonna have that. And that, by the way, Yaseh, gather back in, meaning because he's a leper. And even in non-Jewish lands, probably lepers were not allowed in camps. Even though Naaman was a great guy, you'd assume that they weren't allowed inside the general community. But so he came and told his master, saying, I don't know who he is. It doesn't say anywhere who he is. It's weird. It should be by a V, right? Or Batavo. She came and told, you know, her.
I thought he's going to the king. If I look at Adonav, he came and he went to his master.
You're right. No, you're right. I forgot about the rest of the pasuk. You're right. Naaman came and told his master, Lamor, Kazos, Kazos, Dibra, Nara, Shemeret Yisrael. This is what this young girl said, who's from Eretz Yisrael. You might as well go. The Eshlecha Sefer El Melech Yisrael, send over a letter to the king of Israel. So he went and he took 10 talents of silver, 6,000 things of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. That just doesn't belong there, right? But I guess it was really nice clothes, because otherwise, like, here's $1,000,000 and a suit. I don't know what that means exactly, but it's got to be like that. Now, why the king? Why not to the Navi straight? It must be because he thought, as the king thought, if this Navi was such a miracle worker, everybody must know about him, right? So the king would know more than anybody else, to go find from the king. So
or you would assume that the king would have him employed, honestly.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe he's the head doctor.
Grant him
something like
that. Passage. He's coming from
a region. So yeah. Maybe yeah. Like, yeah. I'm coming for peace. Through. I'm not coming to fight you.
That's a good call. Send it over there. So it says, Vayavya Sefer HaMelech Yisrael, they brought the letter to the king of Israel, Lamor. When this, you know, letter comes to you, then you have seen that Naaman, my servant, is with you. I want you to heal him from his tsaras. So it doesn't say how. It doesn't say how. He never mentioned through the Navi itself, but you could call Melech Yisrael Sefer as you read it. But you could have begun to be tore his clothing. Yomar Elohim, oh my gosh, I need lahamis lachayos. Do I have the ability to kill and to let live? Kizeh. That he's telling me that I should gather him in from the. You see that he's just looking for an excuse against me. I'm sorry, what?
No, because when you have leprosy, it's like you're dead. So he's saying, do I have to...
Exactly. That is the idea of Lahamis Lachaya, right? And that's that. It's unbelievable how Yehoram forgets completely that he's an unbelievable miracle worker. He's sitting in his kingdom with Elisha.
It's like, Yehoram and Elisha weren't exactly like buddy-buddy, so it's like, why would
no,
you?
But he certainly knew about him, especially when Yehoram were already
after
going
that
up
that war.
Before.
Even if he knew about him, didn't mean that he automatically assumed that he can do anything. Somebody's coming to me like, fix it right now. And he's like, I don't know what to do. He's like, he's asking him to do it. I
think it would be obvious. And this is exactly what happens. When Elisha heard about it.
It's taking a while. What's Naaman doing in the meantime?
I would guess just standing there saying, what's going on here? He's in the hot baths with Tiberia. That's what he's doing right now.
According to
the chapter
he was born
in,
it's like, what's another week?
Yeah, seriously. That the king of Israel torn his clothing. He sent to the king saying, why did you tear your clothes? Bring them to me. Now you'll know there's a prophet among B'nai Israel. So how do you know about it? So either it was through prophecy, or this... this fear, this pretext for war, seemed to have gone spread very quickly throughout the country whatsoever. It could be also that Elisha was saying to him, listen, if it was just for you, Yehoram, I wouldn't do this. But he wasn't really sending to you. It was really for me. So that's the honest truth. Yevonam besusav uverichbo. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots. Now notice, he came with gaiva. Me'amo pesach abayis Elisha, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house waiting for Elisha to come to the door. In other words, I'm not going into him. I want him to come to me. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, you see what Elisha did? He said, fine, you don't want to come into me? Then forget it, I'm not going out to you. Your whole issue is your gaiva, and you're refusing to come into me? So forget it. He sent over his messenger saying, no, I don't know. It's weird that it doesn't mention Gehazi. It sounds like he actually sent an actual malach.
Because before we had a nar of Elisha.
Mm-hmm. Which this is, it's just weird. A malach is a very high level, you know, today.
I would assume it's a malach.
It could very well be a messenger. Just typically speaking, when you see the word malach in here, when it could very easily say shliach or nar or something like that.
He uses that all the time in the Torah.
Exactly. And every time there is a double entendre of the regular messenger.
The
Tudor
Sion says it's shliach.
Oh, there's no question. The Pashuk shot behind the word malach
says that it's malach.
And I'm sure over here it says the exact same thing, right? Does it say malach as a messenger? Where is it over here? Malach. He said, Bushlak Lavasi Elisha Izgada. Right? Izgada is a shliach. So that's that. So that's Yonas and Menuziel. Right? There's no question the Pashuk shot is that. There's always a double entendre. There's always a double meaning behind the word malach. Halok Barachat Hashem upon the Yarden. Go and wash yourself seven times in the Jordan River. Yasho Bisarcha Lecha Utahar. Your skin will return to you. And you will be pure. You will be as pure as anything else. The whole point was he really wanted to humble him. He wanted him to get down and say, like, oh, you just have to wash in a Jordan River. Had he come to him and bowed down in front of him, it could be that Naaman would have been cured immediately. Had he been bowed down, Elisha could have just said, you're done. And that would have been it. But because you didn't do it, so now you got to humble yourself. Go out to the river and go dip yourself seven times inside there. Just do something that's so silly. Yeah, well, there are parts of it that are private, but I hear what you're saying. Like, in other words, it's out in the middle of nowhere.
Like so that's why they bottle it now, right?
They sell it in the river. Yeah. Make sure the Dead Sea is, you know, as small as it possibly can be. By the way, Vayitzov Naaman. Naaman got really angry. Vayelach, he left. Vayomer, Hinamarte la yetziyat so, Vamad bekar b'shem Hashem alakav. Now, what I thought is that I thought he was going to come out to me, and he would stand, he would call in the name of Hashem, his God, the Hainav Yadu Alamakom, and he would just wave his hand in the place, Va'asafa Metzorah, and all the Tzorahs would go away. Hello, Tov Avana Uparpar. No, really, it's Amana. The two rivers, Naros Damascus, the rivers in Damascus, the rivers up in Aramean, right, around that area, the Parpar and the Amana, aren't they better, Mikol Memiso, from all the waters of the Jews? Hello, Erchas Bam, I've washed in them, it's Arti, and I've tried to purify them, but even Vayelach Bechema. So he turned around, and he went away in pure anger. He expected to be treated with honor. He was like, what, you're sending a messenger out to me? Like, well, what in the world? Number two, this seemed like a natural remedy. I thought this guy was a miracle worker. I didn't realize this guy was just a regular doctor. Go wash yourself in the river.
No, but
he didn't realize.
That is a doctor wouldn't go tell you to do something so simple.
Well, maybe. I mean, it depends on what the simple. Oh, that's just this. All right,
nice.
Let's go that.
Anything,
you know?
Less simple. Less simple than
that's a great call. That's exactly what I've been doing to my leg for 4 weeks already. Yardane, by the way, the Yardane is also a lashon of Yarad, to knock yourself down and to lower yourself. So that's a good one. There is a famous line. If you look at this pasuk right over here, where is it? I can't remember where it is. There are five, I can't remember, it's five or six. Five times in the Torah, I believe it might be six, where a pasuk starts with a nun and ends with a nun. Okay, and each one of them, it's a gra, it's a famous gra. Naaman starts with a nun and ends with a nun. And each one of those psukim is like one thing where it says, go to the Jordan River, go dip in, do it seven times. Like each one of them has those words in each one of them. So everything that he said was based on that. It's literally in no other context. It's just in the middle of nowhere in a bunch of psukim all over the place. It says nun and then nun, and the gra says that this is how Elisha knew to tell Naaman to go dip in the river, because Naaman is nun nun, so he told him to go dip in the river. It's a famous gra, I just don't remember where it is. Either way, so by Yikshu Avadim, so his servants approached him, by Yidavar, they spoke to him, by Yamar Avi, my father, in other words, great man. Dabar gadol navi divrei lecha. If it was a great thing, if it was a massive thing that the Navi had told you to do, alo sasa, wouldn't you do it? Apkiamari lecha rechatsu tahor. Especially now that he tells you to just wash in and just go through. I mean, come on. That's that.
It's a shower anyway.
Some say that this is one of the best lines that these avakim could have said. They said, like, don't you realize it's not about what you have to do. It's that the Navi said to do it. Follow the words of the Navi and it'll end up working for you. There's a famous story of Rav Shalom Shwadron that he had. His son Rav Yitzchok Shwadron had whooping cough in Eretz Yisrael in the 50s. Now obviously that was deadly to the point where everybody died from whooping cough, right? So he didn't know what to do. He brought his son over to the Chazan Ish for a bracha. Chazan Ish and Bnei Brak. And the Chazan Ish told him, you know what you should do? You should go, there's some eucalyptus trees in the middle of a certain lake in the middle of Ramat Gan. Go to Ramat Gan, go to that lake, go rent a boat, have your son breathe in the air of the eucalyptus trees, and everything will be healed. You'll be perfectly fine. Right, that's what he told him. So Shalom Shwadron rented the boat, brought his son out there, and he was whispering something the whole time while he's rowing the boat all around. He went around like three times, and his son's whooping cough was gone completely. He's completely healed. He turned to his father, and he said to his father, he's like, Abba, this is, by the way, it's written in one of the Reb Pesach Kron's first books. He heard it from Shalom Shwadron himself. It's one of the first Magid books. So he said to him, Abba, we've got to tell people about this. Eucalyptus trees can heal you from whooping cough. We've got to start telling people about this. Shalom Shwadron said, you know what I was saying the whole time? I was saying, Tamin b'chachamim, Tamin b'chachamim, Tamin b'chachamim. He said, you weren't healed from the eucalyptus trees. You were healed from the bracha of the Chazon Ish. That's what you're healed from. You have to do something. I guess you have to prove your amunas chachamim. Yeah, I guess that has to be done through there or something like that. Of course, there are other ways. Listen, there are famous stories. I just read another one, Reb Chaim Knievsky, where somebody would go to him and say to him, right, my hands, you know, I have something wrong with my hand or I hurt my leg or whatever or something like that. Reb Chaim Knievsky would tell him, crazy stuff. Go learn Hilchos Netzilos Yadayim. And they would learn Netzilos Yadayim, and all of a sudden he'd be fine with his hands. Go learn, like, with Regel. He would tell them, oh, what's the wording? Give me a second. Regel Beregel. Oh, go learn Hilchos Regel Beregel. In other words, learn Hilchos Chol HaMoed. Go learn Hilchos Chol HaMoed, and you'll be fine. But crazy stories are
happening. Yeah, this is not than
learning
Torah
versus breathing in. Because you're learning
also,
Torah,
you're
to be able to heal yourself.
Yeah, you learn Torah. You're learning, like, something has to do with the hands. So this is supposed for the hand. So
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. There was a famous line. What did Avi Kamiansky? Avi Kamiansky has a daughter who has, you know, cochlear implants. I forgot what they're called.
Cochlear
implants, right? C-O-C-U-L-A-R. I don't know how to spell it. Who pronounce it? I know he has that. So he went to Reb Chaim Knievsky. He told Reb Chaim about it. Reb Chaim told him to learn Bechoros. Because those types of implants is a mum. And you should learn Hilchos Bechoros, which deal with all the mumen that are written in the Torah. So you have to learn. He learned through Hilchos Bechoros, and he went all the way through. He learned them out. So he said that he should go through it. So he hasn't finished yet. I know he hasn't finished yet, but he had to learn them to be able to go through it. It's what Reb Chaim Knievsky does. So I know, I agree, it's different to learn Torah versus just go around the eucalyptus trees. But that's what they said to him, and the line that it is just do it, because that's what the Navi told you to do, and then you'll be healed. Vayered, vayit, bo, vayard, and he did it. He went down. He lost his gaiva. He dipped in the Jordan, Sheva Pam, seven times, Kidvar Yisholim, like the man of God said, Vayashu Besaro Kibzar, Nar Katon, Vayitor.
This is Vayashu, so meaning he was not born with Zara.
See, I saw that also. It said it up above as well. The Yashov Besorkal Ho Tahar is what it says in Pasuk Yud. So I don't know, according to those people that say that he had it the whole time, I don't know what that word would be, but maybe it meant, like, maybe as a baby he had normal
expression.
Flesh.
No, it's the way the article translates it, it's like, he had the flesh of a young boy.
It just came to him. I guess you could say it that way.
Yeah,
expression.
Like, normal.
I know.
It returned to normal. Yeah. Not what the translation means.
They also translate your
Yeah, let's not do that. Anyway, but either way, regardless, there's no question that the shot behind it is that leprosy makes the skin deteriorate. That's what leprosy does. It makes it go further down. Thus, when Naaman was cured, it was able to grow back. That's the idea behind it. His skin was now like a little child. Just like Naaman was now humble and meek, so too his skin was the same way. By Yashav Elisha, he returned to the man of God. He brought all of his camp. He stood in front of Elisha. So this time, he stood in front of Elisha. Now I know there was no other God in the land except for the Jews. Now accept a blessing from your servant. Take a gift. Take something in there as well. Now, they say that he was greater than Yisro in a way. Now, what's amazing about this is, he healed you of tzaraas through something which is technically whatever. I mean, why is he any better than any of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah? I'm sure the Ovdei Avodah Zarah also had miracle workers that did crazy things at some point. Why did
nobody was able to heal him?
But that still doesn't show you. They still did other miracles. So, like, just because he does a miracle, now all of a sudden you believe in God? You're
going to
change your whole life because of that? I do hear you.
Greater than
that is great.
Naaman?
But what?
That Naaman's greater?
Naaman was greater than Yisro. That's what the red does. Yeah, because Naaman said, said in all the earth, what was it? Because Yisro said, now I know that Hashem is greater than all the gods. He thought that the other gods had power, but Hashem was greater than all of them. Naaman is saying, no, he is the God. Ki ein Elohim b'chol ha'aretz. There is no other God in the world, ki Yisrael. Only the Jews. And thus he has become greater than him. Yeah, you know what's so funny? I got an email today, 2 days ago, from a guy. He was listening to a share of mine from years ago who asked me that I had said in one parsha, I said, why are all the parshas named after Rishayim? Technically Rishayim.
Well, I want to ask somebody
for Bikash or whatever it is. So I gave a whole share on it. There was a whole share on it a couple years ago. And
not all the parshas, but a few, like Balak and...
So that was the whole thing. And Balak, Korach, and then I said Pinchas, but obviously Pinchas was a tzaddik, and Noach was a tzaddik, right? But I said, and then somebody said Yisro, and I said Yisro also could be a Rasha. He said, why did I say that Yisro could be a Rasha?
Moshe honored it.
So Parshas Baloscha, according to Orach Chaim HaKadosh, Yisro was kicked out of Klal Yisrael because he refused to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu's dictum. So because of that, he was kicked out of Klal Yisrael and never came back.
Yisro was there.
He asked them that day.
He said
the strip of the pump. Here, look, you can read it quietly amongst everybody else. And then it says they traveled from the mountain of God. It says the Orachayim doesn't say what happened to Yisro. Yisro left and Moshe kicked him out. Maybe they left him.
Rashi says, let me go back
in order to bring back my children. I'll be Megai and whatever. And Moshe said, if you leave now, you're not coming back. Oof. And that's what he told him. And that's what he said. Yeah, so he walked away from it. The other line is the famous Yalkut.
We for sure have kids who converted and stayed because we see later on in the Navi. They were never Jews.
There were some of the Canaan who were Jews, but the Canaan were not Jewish.
That's why they had a bris.
That's whole Shiloh, because that's how Yael was able to do what she did with Sisera. Otherwise, there's a Bikasha, which was one Shita. Was that, Canaan. From the Canaan, from Yisrael. That's a whole Shiloh. Mamish, that's the whole Shiloh, whether or not Yael was Jewish.
The Navi seems to refer to them as like a separate people.
100%. Yeah, there were Canaan who made a bris together with Sisera and the Canaan, right, together with all of them. The other thing is that, what was the line? The Yalkut Reuveni says that the Dayonin that Yisrael made, it's unbelievable. What an unreal Yalkut Reuveni. He brings down, I don't remember who it was from, that Yisrael caused jealousy and hatred in Klal Yisrael. Because through the judges, they had to pick some of the judges. They picked like 76,000 judges, right? 76,000. Can you imagine the guys that didn't make it? You're like, what the heck? You picked 76,000 and I didn't make it? Yeah, exactly. So everybody started hating each other and were jealous of each other. It was one out of every eight, basically. I forgot how much it was. I don't remember the exact line, but it was that there were judges of tens, judges of hundreds, judges of thousands, and whatever it was. Right? I don't remember what. Judges of 50, judges of 10s, judges of 50s, judges of 100s, whatever it was. But there were all those, he made all of them. So if there were like 76, it might have been like 87,000 of them or something like that. And there were so many people that weren't picked, says Yalkut Reuveni, they all were angry at each other, and Yisro did it on purpose. It's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. So there's a whole thing behind it. Yalkut Reuveni goes through. So I just saw it this year because I was looking through my notes and I found it from 2004.
That's a judges.
Unbelievable, yeah, clearly. But it's really crazy. Okay, here we go. Yeah.
Better than Yisro.
Yeah, that's the line.
In Eliam Yisro.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it.
Yeah. But because of that line.
I like it.
Now, Naaman, by the way, would never worship idols ever again. He was not going to abandon his responsibility to his people. He believed in his people and he loved his people. But he was a ger toshav for the rest of his life. By Yomar Chayash, by the life of God, ger toshav is he's a goy. He did not convert. He keeps the Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noach. Right? And he could or could not live in Eretz Yisrael.
A Noahide.
He has to keep those. Basically a Noahide. Yeah, but an accepted Noahide.
But don't all non-Jews have to keep the Shev?
Yes, but they have to. This is, he's Mekabel upon himself, as right? That was going to be, as opposed to, yeah, having to keep it anyway.
Is it possible? I know.
I once met a guy. I was a Noahide.
At this point,
yeah. He keeps the Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noahide. He believes in Judaism, but he doesn't convert.
Yeah, do tshuva over that because
he doesn't know. A big casual with non-Jews can do tshuva.
That's a good question.
I don't know.
It's crazy.
This is a big
casual. Why would we assume that they can't?
Because it's not mentioned for them. Tshuva is a mitzvah. Mitzvah se midiraisa. So if it's not mentioned for non-Jews, then who says they're able to do it? Now I know that, yeah, it's out there, but out of the, altogether there's around 45 mitzvahs that apply to non-Jews, if we counted it all together. I mean, the Shev mitzvahs, but like the other ones, the Gemara also brings up Kilayim, and some of them are like doubles, you know? Kilayim applies to them. It's Gemara Sanhedrin.
Kilayim of animals or Kilayim of
Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noach are never written down. They're Yukim and Bereshit and Noach.
Okay.
So some of them add on Kilayim. Yesh Omrim is Kilayim. They also bring down Zohar, Mishkav Zohar. There's other ones.
But that would be like a subset of Gilayim Arayos, or
maybe,
that could be.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, you'd have to be able to figure it out. Maybe Kilayim also would be, because in theory it's mixing things together that wouldn't be. So maybe it's a subset.
So we can't wear Shatnez?
I don't know about Shatnez. I don't remember, was it Kile Zerah or Kile Behema? I think it might have been Kile Behema, Harvos Behema. But Kishuv. Kishuv is also mentioned by them. But Yomar Chaya Shemesh Ramati, magic. Yomar Chaya Shemesh Ramati, Lefanami Me'akach, Vayisar Bov Lekach, Vayimain. So Elisha said, by the life of God, right, I stood in front of God, I'm not going to take. He urged him to take, and he refused to take. Okay, that's going to be... Now, accepting a gift would have contradicted everything that Elisha just did. Sure. Elisha wanted to show that God controlled everything.
And he promised that he wanted in God's name. He said,
exactly. And if it implied that God could not give him something, then clearly something was wrong, right? So he would not have anything whatsoever. By Abraham, we also refused to be able to take anything whatsoever. The point is that I didn't do this. It's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, and that's that. Some say that he didn't want to take the gift because it was stuff from Avodah Zarah. That Naaman was an Ovid Avodah Zarah. He wouldn't take the money.
But it wasn't anymore. He renounced the Avodah Zarah, so everything is mutter.
Money was Ovid Avodah Zarah, meaning from his
previous stuff. Right, but if he renounces the Avodah Zarah, doesn't everything become okay now?
No. If the money was still used by Avodah Zarah, if a Jew owns money that was once used for Avodah Zarah, it's still Avodah Zarah.
Yeah, but that doesn't, it makes more sense to say it was altruistic. I mean, God made the miracle, not him. For him to take money is like saying, like, oh, yeah,
I
could have
taken it. No, I definitely
agree.
He
just
said,
Kiano him b'chol haaretz, so why not let him take it? He already acknowledged the fact that it was God who did.
There's no question. But nonetheless, he wanted to show that it's not. Now, you should know, Elisha had a Yitzhahara to take it. That's why he made a Shmuel. Like it says in the beginning of Parshas Matos, when do you make a nether? You make a nether when you feel like your Yetzirah is creeping up on you. Well, Elisha's Yetzirah was creeping up on him. Oh, you can make a lot of money right now.
About Elisha, but he was already used to taking, because we already discussed that he went to all these places traveling around.
And he took from one lady, and it wasn't taking. He just had a place to stay. So I do hear you. If you're going to take like Elisha.
And he wasn't taking it for payment. Wasn't taking it for payment for doing God's work. Here, he did something God told him.
That's true as well. That, remember, he rewarded her for doing something. So to speak, he gave her back for what he had done. Twice, he gave her a child and gave her a child, which is pretty amazing. But that said, you know, regardless, he still felt it difficult, so he made a shul.
To me, it's always it's extravagant. It's unnecessary.
Yeah, this is beyond something that you need. The low Utah Mok La Abdechol, Masat Semer Semed Perodim Adama. So Naaman said, listen, if not, let me give it to your servant, let there be 2 mules burden of earth. In other words, let me keep 2 mules, meaning they're going to carry dirt from Eretz Yisrael. I'm no longer going to be making any korbanos to any other god other than Hashem, and therefore I want the land of Israel in my backyard. So when I bring my korbanos, I'm going to bring my korbanos on the dirt of Israel.
Then he
right?
brought that dirt from Israel for the floor of the show.
100% to be able to have it there.
People get that dirt of Israel necklace thing from.
I've never heard of that before.
Really?
Really? Never seen these?
And there's another like, protector.
Holy water.
You can sell it. You can sell it to people.
No, I'm keeping it myself.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to pick dirt from my backyard.
No, but where do you get dirt from? What place do I get dirt from? Like,
where do you get in there?
Cocoa?
Anywhere. Oh, there's nothing there. Yeah, you'd have to go outside to go from some area's backyard.
Don't they take, don't they do it at funerals in America?
Yeah, they pour it all out. I mean, that's a minute already. That's what the Madriabo, they used to do it in Europe also, but obviously they did not have access, right, when they could get it. He said, for this thing, may your servant be forgiven. The Boa Doni Beis Rima, when my master would go to Beis Rima, to bow down there to his idols, he leans on me, and that means I'll have to bow as well in Beis Rima. Please let me be forgiven for doing such a thing. He said, go in peace, you won't have any problems, and you can go ahead and do something. He did, instead of the bay, very good call. He went about a mile away, you know, a little bit of land away over there. By the way, some say that technically the halacha is, even by non-Jews, Yarav Val Yavor for Avodah Zarah in the Shabbat Mitzvah B'nai Noach. Some say that. But others learn from over here that clearly it's not Yarav Val Yavor because Naaman was able to do it. Others say that it's only Yarav Val Yavor if there are Jews around. If there are no Jews around, then it's not Yarav Val Yavor, and therefore Naaman wouldn't have to worry when bowing down.
But maybe it was, maybe the distinction is, I always thought the distinction was that he was bowing down just in motion, but in his head he wasn't actually doing
a Avodah Zarah. The question is, can a Jew do that? The answer to that question, unfortunately, is no. Does that apply to non-Jews the same way? So you're right. That could very well be an answer as well. My master is held.
Because right after he asks for forgiveness, he says, go to peace, and maybe God told him, I'll forgive him on that one thing.
It'd be an interesting halakha. You can't matar Avodah Zarah.
You're not matar, no, but God told him, it's a harash.
I know, but either way, you can't do a harash on Avodah Zarah, ever.
That's true.
It doesn't ever work. So that would be a very hard thing to say. I know he said, Naman Arami was held back, from taking what he brought. Chai Hashem, by the life of God, I'm going to run after him, and I'm going to take something from him. Now over here it says Naralisha, that he literally had poured out all of his good deeds, and that's Noar, as in he became a youth again, as in anything over here. So that's one thing over here. We're going to also say Meuma, as in he had a mum, he had a blemish over here. So now we're darshening how bad Gehazi was. Beard of Gehazi Achrei Naaman by Yerek. Yeah.
What do we know anything about this temple of Rimon, pomegranate, God?
No, it was not here. It was in Damascus.
Unfortunately,
I don't know Beis Rimon. I don't know anything on it. But Yerdov Gehazi Achrei Naaman. Gehazi chased after Naaman. But Yerin Naaman Ratachro. Naaman saw he was running after. But Yipol Mel Markavi. He jumped off the chariot, across the green. But Yemar Shalom. Is everything okay? But Yemar Shalom Aduni Shvachani Shalom. Everything is okay. My master sent me, Lamor, saying, there are two young lads who came to us from Harafim, from the people of Nevi'im. They should get a talent of silver and two, pairs of clothing. So you can definitely take the two pairs of clothing, right? The two kikars, and he urged them. So he gave him more. He took the two talents of silver and gave him two bags, and two changes of clothes, but he tells Shnei Arav, he gave it over to his two lads, Vayisul Lefanov, right? They carried it before him, meaning the two lads of Naaman, and they carried it so that Gehazi wouldn't have to have it as well. Some said the word hoil means he told him to swear. Swear to me that your master sent you, because he didn't trust Gehazi. If Elisha was so sure, and he had sworn not to take anything, how can he now go against it? So swear to me that he had changed his mind. Vayavo ala Ovel. They came to the stronghold. Vayikam Yadam, he took it from their hands. Vayitko Bavayis, and he put it into his house. Vayishalach Zanashim Vayilechu, he sold those guys away, and he went back, and they left. So he went back to stand by his master. Vayimei Lav Elisha, and Elisha said to him, Me'ayin Gehazi, where are you coming from, Gehazi? Vayimei Lo Alach Avdekal Anavahana, listen, I haven't gone anywhere. So Gehazi, I haven't been anywhere, I didn't do anything at all. Gehazi was given a chance to do tshuva. Where do you come from, Gehazi? That's the power. How in the world could you have lied to
him? Maybe he just assumed that God doesn't tell him everything.
And that is the truth. Nabi does not know anything. He does not know everything.
So how can he think to lie?
How can he lie to somebody who clearly knows everything? But the answer is that, honestly, a Nabi does not always know everything. A Nabi is withheld.
He's trying to go against his words and go get the stuff. What's the...
I mean, how's that...
That's not something
swearing.
Okay, no, I hear you. Gekazi, I hope, would be a little bit better than that. And learning his lesson from the first guy who did that. Which, nonetheless, you're right. That's clearly a problem with all people, that the taiva superseded his knowledge. Adway says in Pasuk Chavava, Yomar Elav, Lo Libi Alach, didn't my heart go along with you? Lo, he'd say, Lo Libi Alach, didn't my heart go along with you? Or Lo, no, Libi Alach, my heart was with you, Kasher Hapach Ish Melarkavto, when the man turned from his chariot, Likosecha, to greet you, when Naaman was there. Ha'is Lakachas Akasab, Lakachas Begadim, Ezezim, Ukram, Mitzon, Uvakar, Vavadim, Ushachos, is this the time to take silver and to take clothing and olives and vineyards and sheep and cattle and servants and shachos? Right, so what had happened over there. So Chazal Darshan, there are eight things that are mentioned over here because they were learning the sugya of Shmona Shrotzim. So he said, you lost the discourse of all the Shmona Shrotzim. You lost all that for taking things that will buy you all these things in this world. You're going to lose them because in the next world you have nothing. And that's what he told them over here. The tzaraas Naaman tidbak b'chov zarech l'olam. The tzaraas of Naaman will stick with you and your children forever. And he went away from him white as a leper. Now, we've got a lot of stuff over here. Now, there were nine sins that Gehazi was over on. Number one, Gehazi, number one, he shouldn't have had to pay for it in the first place. So he had stolen from Naaman. Stolen from Naaman, that's number one. Number two, he tried to lie to his teacher. Number three, he was disrespectful to his teacher by calling him by his first name. Number four, he interfered with the Torah studies of the other students, as we're going to see in the next parak. Number five, he swore falsely to Naaman. Number six, he was envious. Number seven, he was promiscuous. That was when he had pushed away the Isha Shunamis, so it sort of pushed him in the chest.
Yeah.
That was from Gehazi, though. And not just because of the story, but all together. Number eight, he lacked faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the reason from what before. Number nine, he denied Tchias HaMesim, and that's again from the story before, and we denied Tchias HaMesim altogether.
Wait, we didn't say that he denied it.
We didn't say it out loud. We're saying right now that one of the punishments that Gehazi got was because of that. Remember, guys, Gehazi in the list of people that have no chilek in Olam Haba. That means that we're talking about a really bad guy. We're not talking about just a Dama guy.
I can't imagine him being that bad. He's at least a Gabbai.
No, yeah, but what it's usually the great people who are given the no chelik in Olam Haba, they had the chance to do. Like Achav, and even Elisha ben Avuja.
It's also thanks to Hashem, because Elisha swore in the name of God he's not going to take anything. Now he's going and he's saying, oh, Elisha changed his mind.
Exactly. This is one of the biggest chelik Hashem that he could have made to a person who is now a Ger Tosha who just come back. It's a question what Lola means. Is Lola forever up until Yovel, whatever it is, it's hard to say that it's going to be Lo'olam because that means he got his punishment in this world and he didn't get it in the next world.
Being a Sora,
the Sora is not fun. It's him and his kids. Now, why his children? It must be that the children must have known about it and condoned it and they were into it. Maybe they goaded their father into doing it. It's got to be something like that. But later on, when we see the Arba Mitzorayim is Gehazi and his three sons, so they definitely weren't involved.
But maybe, but Le'olam, I think Gemara talks about, the Drasha talks about how they know they have no proportion on Haba, but maybe this is also a hint towards this, that they'll be Mitzorayim forever, meaning they'll be banished from the camp of Israel forever, meaning even after they die. It's not generations future, it's just him and his children forever.
You know, I don't remember where the Diak was from, but they obviously darshan in the Gemara, because it's a machlokas about Gehazi. But in the Gemara, everybody's argued upon, because everybody tries to bring somebody back in some way, shape, or form. But regardless, they do have a drusha, I just don't remember what the drusha was. Another thing, Rav Wolfson has a famous vort on all this, and he says that Mitzoras is given by the Malachim Avos himself. There are four things that are considered as if you're dead, not having any children, or a person who's blind, or a person who's poor, or a person has Tzaras. So he says that Tzaras is given by the Malachim Avos himself. Therefore, just like Misa cannot be taken away unless you can't take away somebody from death, obviously, it's Chias HaMesim. So to Tzaras, it is impossible to take it away. The only thing you can do is you could trade it. You could be mocked with it to someone else. You could trade it over to somebody else. Now, typically speaking, you can't do that with Tzaras, right? Because that means somebody else is going to be punished for for this guy's Tzaras. So we can't do that. How are you going to trade Tzaras from one person and give it over to somebody else? So the Pella that Elisha did over here, says Revolson, was that he died daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the tzaras of Naaman should go away and should never come back. That it should not be given over or traded over to somebody else. And this would be from the Malach HaMavis, a Kiddush Hashem from the Malach HaMavis for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And since the Malach HaMavis also wants to make Kiddush Hashem, there's a Kiddush Hashem even to the Malach HaMavis. The Malach HaMavis was masking to such a thing, took away the tzaras completely, and that was that. But when Gehadi minimized or mitigated the Kiddush Hashem that was made in front of Naaman, therefore the Malach HaMavis had a tiny in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, well, wait a second, there's no Kiddush Hashem, so I want my tzaras back. So Elisha had no choice but to put the tzaras that was traded away from Naaman and put it onto Gehadi.
Why does somebody always get sent out of the camp for a week and another week and they're healed and they go into the program, meaning they're healed at some point? People get healed with tzaras in the Torah.
That's a good question. I don't remember, but
we have the whole charade of spreading the ashes and the dirt.
It's been a long time since I've seen this horse. If I remember correctly,
what do you want to call it?
Ceremony.
Bird.
Whatever.
Ritual.
I don't know exactly. I don't remember exactly, but I do remember that he goes into the same piece about two different types of tzarasas. Tzaras of non-Jews and tzaras of Jews. The tzaras of Jews is healable and the tzaras of non-Jews is not. But I don't remember if that's divorce or if that's not divorce. I don't know. The answer to that question, I don't know. I don't remember offhand. But it's in Rav Wolfson in Parshas Metzora. He says it over there in Parshas Metzora when he goes through the Arba Metzorayim. That's his vort. That's the idea of what he says over there. An amazing, amazing piece. Okay. Let's start Park Vav. We have a couple minutes over here. It says Park Vav Pasuk Aleph. I am Reuben Ed of Yom Elisha. The people, the sons of the Nevi'im, said to Elisha, "In Al Makom Asher Nachnu Yoshvim Shom, Levenecha, the place that we're sitting in front of you, Tzarmi Menu. It's very, you know, it's narrow. It's like not a good place for us to live." Wait a minute. Did he say that there was miracle number 11? There was miracle number 10.
Which miracle?
Naaman. Was miracle number? Yeah. Was that miracle 10? Eight, nine, ten. So this should be number 11 and 12. I guess it's going to be both. All right, here we go. Vayomer b'nei Nevi'im el Elisha, "Hinei Naaman Makom Asher Anachnu Yoshvim Shom Lefanecha Tzarmi Menu." Listen, it's too crowded for us. Chazal tell us that when Gehazi was there, he used to keep people outside. He used to kick people out thinking that they weren't right. And as soon as Gehazi left, Elisha's following began to grow. People said, oh, finally Gehazi's gone, we're willing to go. Or because Gehazi literally would kick people out, right? Once they were ready to go in, now everybody was able to go inside, and that's that.
There were so bad of a person before. Why did Elisha keep him around?
It could be because of his potential. Somebody this great, in evil, has to have been so great in every other way. But that has to be the answer. Nilchanan, the Yardin, let's go to the Yardin. Nichom Yisham Ish Kora Achat. Each person will take a beam from there, Manaslan Hosham Makum Lashavasham. And we'll have a place to live there. Bayomer Lechu. And he said to them, let's go to that area. So they're all going to the Jordan River. Yomer Echad, Hol Nova Lech Esavadecha. So one of them said to him, please agree to come with your servants. He said, I'm going to go. He said, I'm going to guide you and I'll protect you if anything goes wrong. By Yelchitam, you went with them. They went to the Jordan River and they cut down some wood. By Yechad Mapel Akar, one person was knocking down a beam. By Zavarzal Nafal Amayim, and then while he was cutting it down, the iron of his axe fell into the water. By Yitak, he cried over. Oh my gosh, my master, it was borrowed. Now, blades, especially metal, was extremely hard to come by in those days. It was very rare. So now, number one, he'd have to pay for it, and it was extremely expensive. Number two, he had no money. By Yomer Yisrael, it came unenuffled. Where did it fall? By Ariel Amakal Esam. He showed him the place. He eats up eights, and he cut down a piece of wood. By Ashlach Shom, and he threw it there. I guess if a barzel and the iron was able to float back up. By Yomer Harem Lach, take it up for yourself. By Yishlach Yado, and he picked up his hand, or he sent out his hand. By Yikachay, he was able to take it. So when the wood, which normally floats, sunk down, the iron, the metal, floated back up, and he was able to take the metal. So that's a miracle,
like a magic trick. Honestly,
it does sound that way, but I mean, obviously there was no magic involved over here. But there's in miracle number 12. So I'm not so sure what happened to miracle number 11. I think miracle number 11 and 10 must have been involved with Naaman, but I don't remember how. Maybe we'll come back to it.
Maybe by giving Zoras to
Zoras going to Gehazi is number 11. I don't know. Either way, but that was the 12th miracle altogether.
Why
that was that.
Mention this? I feel like this story is serious.
It's the 12th miracle. We're going
it's the first time we see an organized yeshiva starting.
Yeah, that is true. That is definitely true. The first time we have an actual. Except you, Jewish Shane Behaver.
No, but that's not in the Torah. In the Torah.
Yeah, that's make believe. This should actually happen.
It's nowhere in the Torah. It's a midrash.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'll give you a second. Vayelech Lidrosh Hashem.
Right, Lidrosh Hashem. She went to find there was a Navi that didn't need a Yeshiva.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Okay, you're right. It's only a remnant from Yaakov, you know? And anyway, there was only Yeshiva's Aver because Shane was dead. Okay, so you're right. All right, so you guys are just off your course when it comes to personal fat. That's fine. All right, anyway, when it comes to this, by the way, this is a famous line as well. There's a crazy story that happened with one of the... It's a well-known thing because it was somehow related to the Germanium family. I don't know exactly how, but there was a guy who was in a boat in what's it called, in California. I believe that's where it was. And he was in a boat with his kids. Somehow he got stuck under... Anyway, he drowned. His kids ended up getting back, whatever it was, but he drowned inside the lake. It was like a bigger lake. It was a big problem also because the woman was now going to be she was going to be an aguna because it was Maim Sheishlam Sof, meaning there were banks all around the side because they couldn't find the body, so it was there. They searched through the entire water, they couldn't find the body whatsoever. So this is the line. I can't tell you how good this is. Supposedly, the person who told this to me is sisters of one of the wives of the brother of the person who did it. I don't know exact, but whatever. But the person said, I know this story, whatever it was. So they told me. They called in a makobel. The makobel said a certain shame of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, placed it inside the river. They had all these people with them, meaning they had cops and everything, like the water cops and everything. And the makobel was brought to the boat. They brought him right into the middle of the lake or whatever it was. And he put a shame on a piece of wood, put it inside the water. The piece of wood sunk and up came the body. And they said that it comes from this.
Don't bodies float after a while?
Not if they're completely bloated. Once they bloat, then they usually stay underneath.
Right.
The air inside it. I think when it's bloated and it's fat, I don't know what happens. You know, honest with you, I have no idea.
No.
I think somebody did try to, there was like a Snopes thing and some like, oh, there's a famous one with an Edgar Allan Poe story where they did a Snopes and an Edgar Allan Poe story with a body when that Snopes is, they look through to see if it's true or not. And they did on an Edgar Allan Poe story whether there was a body that was thrown into the river that never ended up coming up again. Is that possible? And it is possible. I don't remember how.
No, it could be because like the Titanic, their bodies dissolved.
Yeah, the bodies were just there. I don't know what happened, but this body obviously came right back up. So either way, that story comes through. Should we stop right now?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll stop right now.